Well, good morning and welcome to a busy Saturday. Once again, we have a lot going on today. Jerome's there going to make sure that everything stays in order. That's what he does while I try to ramble through the happenings of the week and our times. And today there is some breaking news this morning, and it appears as though a federal judge, has ordered Biden to, guess what, use some funds to spend them on wall construction. Wow, what a novel idea. So the president who paused deportations, reinstated catch and release, limited it, which illegals could be arrested, and halted construction on the wall, is being instructed by a judge, and this is Andrew Bailey territory, our own attorney general here in Missouri, who was involved in this suit along with Ken Paxton, is saying that he must use the funds to continue building the border wall. This is great news, and we're thankful for AG Bailey getting on that and so many other issues. State of the Union, of course, on Thursday night, that was interesting. I don't know that we really learned a whole lot. You could have played the 22 and the 23 State of the Union addresses. We have some great guests coming up. We're going to be talking later on with Phil Kirpin to do some fact-checking on the State of the Union. He'll be in at 8:06. He's from America Commitment. We've got a lot of fact-checking to do in the State of the Union. And then at 8:25, Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, author of The Soros Agenda. I'm worried about, what is this about U.S. Navy building ports to support Gaza over there? What, are they going to start building a dock, a long pier? What are they going to do over in the Mediterranean there right next to Gaza Strip? We'll see about that. Talk with Rachel Ehrenfeld. And Todd Showalter, of course, our own News Talk STL's Todd Showalter, on Angry Joe and what his mind of creativity and humor brings up. Todd will join us at 7:25. And the usual hit with Virginia Cruda at 7:45. So a lot going on in the show. I'm going to reach out to Andrew Bailey's people, Jerome, and see if I can maybe get a comment from him this morning, because this is big news. I mean, on the first day, with the stroke of a pen, our illegal immigration system was just turned on its head. Eight, nine, 10 million people have come in this country now since Biden took office, and at least this could be one step towards turning it back. I'm ready for it. How about you?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm telling you. This is something else. 314-912-1019 is the number if you'd like to weigh in. 314-912-1019. We need to talk a little bit about the State of the Union. I mean, I think that's the talk of the town. But on the heels of it, I've got some amazing sounds. You know, we haven't played a Biden bite in a while. I thought we were in the Union the other night. There was just one or two. But yesterday, excuse me, in Pennsylvania, as he hits the campaign trail, Joe Biden was making up for lost Biden bite time. Let me tell you, while he must have been juiced up on something, how many Red Bulls would it take to enable Joe Biden to read a teleprompter for an hour and 10 minutes? I don't know. They may have sold out at the local C store. I'm not sure. But he was an angry Joe. He was a caustic Joe. The left called him a fiery Joe, a feisty Joe. Joe is back. Yeah, for an hour and 10 minutes. After that, everything went to you know what in a handbasket yesterday morning. Should we treat the listeners to one Biden bite? Do you have Biden bite number one up there, Jerome? I think this would be interesting. This was Joe in Pennsylvania yesterday.
Last night in the U.S. Capitol, the same building where our freedoms came under assault on July the 6th.
What? He was referring to his speech in the Capitol, the same building where our freedoms came under assault. And, well, he got the J right part of that month, but I think he missed the rest of it, Jerome. You sure you edited that right? You sure that wasn't a little, was that some AI trick you pulled?
Oh, I assure you, I had nothing to do with that. That is all the person that is allegedly leading this country talking like that.
So he got the J right, but just 6 months off. Yeah, that's January 6th, Joe. Remember, that's going to be one of your big issues. No, nobody, you're the threat to democracy. No, you're the threat to democracy, not some blue-haired folks and bald guys and people with baseball caps who wandered in. Yeah, they did it illegally. They had no business being there. It was a boneheaded move. I don't care whether you were a blue-haired grandma or whether you were a proud boy, which you were probably definitely doing some felonious assault on police. We saw that. And whether or not the cops let you in. You know, you should have known it wasn't right. All that said. Those people were not the threat to democracy. Joe Biden, the left, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, you are the threat to democracy, folks, not good-hearted Americans who are just trying to make a living, eke out a living to pay for the carnage that your inflation has wreaked on their pocketbooks. Holy cow, I just couldn't believe it. And of course, he couldn't get Laken Riley's name right, Marjorie Taylor Greene. And what some have said has been a rude outburst, asking him to say the name, ask him to, you know, implored him to do that. And yeah, he picks up a pin. He's looking at a pin. How can you look at a pin that says Laken Riley and say Lincoln Riley? I can't figure it out. I mean, he got through the teleprompter okay, but he couldn't do that part. I mean, unbelievable. That's clip six, but there's more on that. Let's play that. That's clip six. This is Biden's triple fail on Laken Riley. It wasn't just about getting the name wrong.
Just ask yourself, are you better? Look, we all recall when President...
Well, I think that was, that's Katie Britt. That's okay.
Laken Riley, an innocent woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they.
Yeah, Joe, I think that's the problem, man. Not only did you get Laken's name wrong, how disrespectful. And her mother came out the other day just absolutely outraged, just hurt and pierced and wounded and, yes, angry, disappointed, but most of all outraged that he couldn't even get her daughter's name right. But beyond that, he tries to, this makes it even more feel more dismissive when he says, yeah, but well, okay, Laken, Schmaken, whatever, Lincoln, Winkin, Blinkin, whatever. But there are thousands being killed by legals. So what's one illegal Venezuelan mobster, gangster killing Laken? What does that matter? There's thousands of people dying illegal, you know, from legal folks in this country. Well, yeah, that's the problem, Joe, because your law and order policies and those of your DOJ are absolutely a porous border internally to crime, criminality, law and order. Crime against people and places. So and then finally, he realizes that once you let these people in, they're going to be released, many, many, many of them, at least 20%, if not more, when they do get adjudicated, get released right into the country. And the other 80% will not be pushed across the border, will not be deported because they don't have detention space. So what happens? They get put on buses, on planes, and they go to small towns, large towns. Every town now is a border town. And so it was a triple fail. Joe Biden was just unbelievably out of control and unhinged the other night. An angry, angry Joe. And, you know, you can use the stereotype of the angry old man. But I mean, this is like the angry old man who's been locked in the attic for the last year and comes down and, you know, Monday morning and starts breathing fire. I've not seen anything like it. And then in stark contrast, and this is very interesting, fascinating stuff. Katie Britt, this is clip number seven. Katie Britt, and she really caught my attention. I don't normally put much stock in these rebuttals. I don't put much stock in the people who give these rebuttals as far as what it means, especially in a current election cycle. However, as we ponder, and I'd invite you to call me with your thoughts, 912 1019. That's 314-912-1019, the number here. I pondered the contrast in style and tone between Angry Joe and the woman who I think is the stereotypical, at least in her presentation, her appearance, the kitchen table setting right in her very own kitchen, the youngest senator, what is she, 42 years old? Katie Britt from Alabama said this.
Look, we all recall when presidents faced national security threats with strength and resolve. That seems like ancient history. Right now, our commander-in-chief is not in command. The free world deserves better than a dithering and diminished leader. America deserves leaders who recognize that secure borders, stable prices, safe streets, and a strong defense are actually the cornerstones of a great nation.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but this person, and then you see her when she's not in front of the camera. Clearly she was, you know, had some prompting there. And it was dramatic, but it was passionate. It was optimistic in terms of, well, it was pointed in terms of what's wrong with Joe. And it was a pleading with Americans to discard and dismantle this old guard, tattered, angry, cynical, same old, promises, promises president. Setting the stage for hope for a different future, setting the stage for an optimistic message in a campaign that, oh, needs some optimism, but some realistic optimism. And I thought it was quite dramatic, quite a contrast. And I got to tell you, my wife was struck by it. She doesn't normally, you know, after the main State of the Union, which she walked away from, like many of you probably did, because it was the same old, you could have just played the reel from 22 and 23, except it was more pointed. It was mean spirited from Joe. Helene was caught by this and touched. And I think many people were really, their head was turned. Now, people on the right, many GOPers have said, oh my gosh, give her the hook. She's not the Trump fire breather. You know, you're not, I don't know. I'd like your opinions on this. I'd like to know, especially if you have young people in your life, what they thought of her and the presentation. She went on then to channel Ronald Reagan. This is clip 8. She goes on to channel Ronald Reagan in an optimistic, uplifting, hope is just ahead. And it is, if you'll just jettison Joe Biden and look in a different direction, listen.
Better off now than you were 3 years ago. There's no doubt we're at a crossroads, and it doesn't have to be this way. We all feel it. But here's the good news. We, the people, are still in the driver's seat.
And that's the thing. There's no doubt that she starts out with, you know, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Well, 3 years ago. And then upwards and onwards. And we, the people, can do better. Okay, Jerome, young man, did you catch Katie Britt? And what did you think of her? Do you have any lady friends, acquaintances, co-workers in your life who may have had an opinion on that? I thought it was earth-shattering. I thought a star was born. What do you think?
Yeah, her delivery was very powerful. You know, listening to it, almost sounds like she's trying to remain calm, but at the same time, you can definitely hear like the anger and like the passion in her voice as she's speaking. Now, in terms of my coworkers, they're really trying to avoid this political cycle, so that's why I enjoy our show so much. Is that I get to talk to you about all this stuff because a lot of people are just, at least my age, they just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to think about it, or maybe they lack the capacity to think about it, and that's an even scarier thought, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And when you say your coworkers, you mean not in this building, but you work two jobs. You're a dual income worker, right?
Yes,
dual income guy, and that's my concern. I mean, aside from who young folks may vote for if they vote. I think their engagement level and their information thirst is probably not the same as I'd like to see it or hear it. I certainly think that it's so important. I mean, after all, this is a generational turning point. There's no doubt about it. Many of you listening know that your generation, our generation, my generation, is on its way out. I mean, in the next 5 to 10 years, it's going to be an absolute total shift in the age, the average age of leadership in this country, if not sooner. And permanent seats in the House and in the Senate and in the Oval Office, for that matter, and at the state level in Jefferson City, in Springfield, if you're in Illinois. Is it going to be the TikTok generation that only connects with people who can do the cutest dance, post the fanciest reel, use the fanciest filter? Are the people who are making these decisions and pulling the levers at the ballot box? I'd rather have them be writing their ballots, but that's another story. Are they going to be engaged with the issues of the time? And are they actually going to listen to the truth, or are they going to listen to the rhetoric? Are they going to fall for the fake, phony, rhetorical lies, or are they going to be looking at facts? And are they going to know anything about history, given the way public education has de-educated people as far and revised American history, and not recognize that you can have solid, sound principles and aspirational goals, call it the Constitution, and you may fall short of those goals, but striving for them is what defines the great American experience. Do people that are going to be voting for the next generation of leaders have any semblance, any sense, any knowledge of what a brilliant revolutionary philosophy, the Constitution, our founding documents, our principles were built on? I don't know. That's the most frightening thing. I would hope that, in fact, the dramatic delivery, the style, the presentation, the optics of a Katie Britt and her demeanor will persuade people. And there are others like her, Kristi Noem, Elise Stefanik, Byron Donalds. There are more and more upcoming conservatives who I think are young and passionate and can spread that message across the land. J.D. Vance has been mentioned. And while I'm not a check-the-box kind of a guy thinking of the VP choice, and we do need to think about that. Oh my gosh, we're over time. Well, let's think about it during the break, and then call me about your VP thoughts, because that's now what the next thought line pivots to, right? Donald Trump's VP choice versus Kamala Harris. Oh, can't you wait to see that debate? That would be a thing of beauty. 314-912-1019. Don't forget, coming up later, Todd Showalter and Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, Phil Carpin, all on the State of the Union, the state of this campaign, the longest campaign involving, because the general is on now. It's Biden versus Trump, as far as we can see, unless Biden takes a fall and breaks his skull, which is possible. And among the oldest of candidates. Randy Tobler with you. Jerome's over there with the Tobler Show on Newstalk STL 101.9 94.1. 314-912-1019. Who would you pick, or at least give me a short list for the VP in this Titan battle? We'll be back.
Thank God for the daylight. I spent a long time in the dark. Felt good saying goodbye. Waking up to a brand new heart.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on Newstalk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Talk lines are open now at 314-912-1019.
Welcome back to the program. 314-912-1019, the number. We're at a real critical turning point in our country. This election cycle, well, it sounds like we say it every time. I really haven't said it since 2008, since the Obama election. But I believe this is the most critical election of our time. 16 was very important, but I knew we were going to pivot away from Obama. This is a really important one because Joe Biden is leading down the path of tyranny, and it's got to stop. Now, Gene's on the line, would like to comment on things. How you doing, Gene? Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Randy. Good morning, Jerome. How are you guys?
We're good. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, let's see. On the Katie Britt thing, my wife and I were talking about this as well as a bunch of other people. She was a little on the melodramatic side. On the other hand, when you consider her age, and it seemed as if she was really focusing on people, especially moms, in her age bracket, I think she really hit a home run, and for several reasons. The Republicans, we're all conservatives, analytical, this, that, and the other thing, and she kind of played somewhat of a Democratic type of thing, going after people, and especially people in the middle of the road, hitting a social, emotional kind of tack. I think she did a fantastic job.
Gene, you nailed it. I think that's it. That's the connection. Look, there's no doubt that the Democrats, we've already established that the Democrats don't think much with the left part of their brain. That's the part that tends to be the more analytical, the more fact-based, the more problem-solving oriented kind of a thing. They think with the right side of their brain, you know, more dramatic, more emotional, you know. And the person who can combine factual information and communicate it in a way that appeals to folks who have more of that part of their brain activated, those would be the independents, right? Those are the people who voted for. The people who have both sides of their brain working actively tend to be the center to center right folks, some center left, who voted for Donald Trump in 16, but because of his boorish style and his curt and rude style, they just can't stomach it. Which means that that dominates over the policy issues in their mind when they go to vote. I think that so Katie too. Britt was able to appeal to the emotional side, but at the same time, recognize that these are literally kitchen table issues. I thought the setting was brilliant. Look, if you're a soccer mom out there, and you like Donald Trump's policies, you liked tax cuts, you liked security. Moms love security. Women tend to really have as a priority security, whether it's financial security. They don't like debt. I don't know about your wife, Gene. My wife doesn't like any debt. They like, of course, physical security, right? Okay, they had that under Donald Trump. But on the other hand, when you're at the soccer game, when you're at the kids' football game, when you're, you know, doing the things that women do to nurture children, keep the house intact, because men aren't very good at that, let's be honest. You're not talking when you're out in the playgroup. You know, you don't go up to your friend and say, I like Chardonnay and you like Pinot Grigio. I don't ever talk to me again. Get out of here. They don't like that part of the Donald Trump. They want someone warm, someone inviting, someone who shares their common human values. And I think that's where she nailed it. Yeah, it was a little melodramatic, but Jerome, pull up clip 10. I believe clip 10 is where she wasn't on camera. I think this was just a separate interview, if I'm not mistaken. When you hear her on the interview circuit, she's not that way. She's still charming and delightful and fresh and young, but she's not as melodramatic. But compared to Joe's anger, Gene, I would take her melodrama anytime. How about you?
Oh my gosh, yes. He was just so jacked up on whatever and angry. And on that line, if he is on some sort of medication, there's some sort of meds that they give people like in the Air Force that are on a real long mission to keep them awake and up when they have to be awake and up for 24 or 36 hours under supervision of the doctor. Are some of the side effects from those medicines, Randy, from what your knowledge is, a reaction like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, whether you're taking a prescription stimulant, like an Adderall or a Concerta, something like that, or whether you drink a lot of caffeine and have, you know, you down two energy drinks, which I don't know why they would do that, because the guy has atrial fibrillation and they shouldn't That's be true. Giving him, they shouldn't be stoking up, and they may not be giving him that. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, you know, he didn't have an appearance for 5 days. He probably nappy napped and had his cookies and milk and had his fluffy slippers and flannel jammies on. You know, he was resting. And, you know, that's fine. And so he was able to pull it together for an hour. But yesterday was a disaster. We have no less than three clips. But here's Katie Britt in another setting. Listen to this.
Mr. President, enough.
Oh, no, same thing.
Enough.
Go ahead. Play it. It's good.
Innocent Americans are dying, and you only have yourself to blame. Fulfill your oath of office. Reverse your policies. End this crisis and stop the suffering.
Look, moms will throw themselves in front of a bus, a car, a train to protect their family and especially their children. I don't know about their husband. I don't think my wife would do that in front of me. She might push me over to the bus. I don't know. Sometimes I don't get my honeydews done in time. You know how that goes, Gene. But
that's true.
I think that sense of security and Mr. President, I'm angry. I'm an angry mama bear. And I'm passionate about it, and so are so many tens of millions of women and men who are tired of your pandering to the left. Straighten up your act. I thought it was a brilliant performance, and I don't know. I disagree with GOPers who say, don't choose her. She's a disaster. There's a risk that she could be Palinized, but I don't think she's Sarah Palin. I think she's better informed, and I don't think she's as... I don't think she's a caricature like Sarah Palin was made to be. How much of a risk do you see that, Gene?
That's a possibility. She is pretty young in things on your quest for VP pick. Ben Carson, I think, would be good, but he's just extremely calm under all circumstances, and I don't know if people would like him because he doesn't get fired up. Tim Scott would be real good. I think Carrie Lake would be good, but she's got a role to fill, grabbing a Senate seat. Kristi Noem, I think, would be a good job. I don't know if the evangelicals would go along with her little dalliance, allegedly, with I forget what the guy's name is off the top of my head here. Corey.
Did she allegedly have a little tryst?
Yeah, tryst.
Well, you know,
Corey Lewandowski.
Well, wait a minute. I heard she just was in to do some plumbing. I heard that she put on the plumber's outfit and went over to change the wax ring on the toilet. I don't think it was.
There you go. She's an attractive lady. She can help me with my plumbing repairs.
Oh, I hope your wife didn't hear that. I know Jerome doesn't think much of Kristi Noem's looks, do you, Jerome? I mean, you know, she's not much to look at, is she? I mean, as women go, you don't think that, do you?
No.
Jerome's girlfriend must be listening.
No comment.
Hey, look, there's no doubt. Thank you. Thanks for the call, Gene. Appreciate it. There's no doubt in the political realm, attractiveness means something. There's no doubt about that. If you look at the presidents, the recent presidents, all of them are fairly tall, bigger men. I mean, you got George Bush was a tall, substantial guy. Bill Clinton, certainly Barack Obama, Donald Trump, imposing figures. I think that must be from an evolutionary or biological standpoint connoted as what, strength? And then there's Joe Biden. I don't know. Stumbling Joe. Now, it's true. Joe probably has a serious back problem. I could see how some of his gait problems, he also has a peripheral neuropathy, reportedly, and I can write away some of those things. What I struggle with, though, and what I can't write away, just in terms of looking at his overall appearance and countenance and his gaze, is that there's some blank, lost, deep, where am I kind of imagery that goes on there. So I think, and of course, when he wanders around asking where he is as he's on the podium, which way did he go? Remember that? Was that a Warner Brothers cartoon? Don't remember. I'm really curious because I think the difference maker in this election, I think that the minority vote will be important. And Donald Trump is doing a pretty good job of garnering a substantial amount of that, at least according to the polling. Now, will those voters, some Hispanics, black voters, will they predominantly, will they return, quote, home to the Democrat Party and Joe Biden, even if it means holding their nose? Will those who say that they voted for Haley and will never vote for Donald Trump come hell or high water, will they return, quote, home and return to the Trump side? Those are huge questions. But I think the big demographic question is what happens to the, oh, let's say 35 to 50 year old woman who has kids in the house still and realizes the ravages of inflation and understands that their son or daughter may be called into battle because of Joe's foreign policy foibles and may not even feel safe in their own neighborhood going to their local Walmart or big box store, wherever they are, and having their car taken and their body threatened and taken perhaps at gunpoint and maybe worse by an illegal, because now the doors are open and Venezuela is realizing a drop in crime because they're emptying their jails and sending them to the United States of America. It's happening. And we saw it happen with Lake and Riley. And when women in that age group voting, maybe, you know, midstreamers, people who should be, some of you may be listening to the program. Some of you may have friends who at the next meeting, you know, why don't you remind them not to listen to NPR? Some of them listen to NPR. Tell them to come over and listen to News Talk STL. If nothing else, to just get another look at things, another listen, another angle on things. Because I'm concerned about families. I'm concerned about women running those families. Single women are running a plurality of families now. Sorry, guys, it's the truth. And we have to get them to understand that while they may not like the demeanor of a Donald Trump, perhaps if Trump makes the right VP choice, they could look at 8 years after Trump of someone more measured, more civil, that adopts Trump policies. And perhaps they could be convinced to look at 12 years of keeping your own money, law and order, security, less risk that their kids are going to go abroad and die and fight for other people's causes, and an economy that's in their favor, not in the favor of the people who develop solar farms, the people who develop windmills, the people who make batteries in the new government-subsidized battery manufacturing plants. And perhaps that argument can start with you at the playgroup, at the PTA, at work. Many of you work with people who listen to NPR on their way to and from home. Have them listen into News Talk STL, to this program, to Todd's program, to Rob Carter in the Evening, the newest edition, Katie and Tony, Vic, Ken, and we got Mike and Gabe and Stell in the morning. I mean, it's all that. I'm serious. I didn't plan on doing an ad for the station, but it's important that we somehow point to the people like Katie Britt, play a clip and say, look, does this person channel some of the way you, my dear 45-year-old friend with a couple of kids in middle school, high school, wherever you are, does anything she says resonate with you? Resonated with me, resonated with my wife. If it resonates with my wife, I can tell you she was one of those moms. And I'm telling you, there's something there with Katie Britt, hopefully a guy or a gal that continues to message that way with passion, that there is a better way. We have to put the Joe Biden, the left, the country's ruination through the Democrat National Socialist Party behind us. And we'll talk more about it as the program goes on. We're going to be talking with Todd Showalter next hour. Your call's invited, 314-912-1019. Hey, the Democrats played another card when it comes to power and the accumulation of it. We'll talk about that when we come back on the program. Stay there, please.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter.
Hey, it looks like you like to get up early, so Monday through Friday, listen to me from 5:30 to 9. Mike Ferguson here, and you are listening to The Randy Tobler Show right here on News Talk STL.
So perhaps you heard about this amendment that Senator Bill Hagerty had proposed. And he tweeted yesterday that he forced a vote that the Democrats prevented an amendment that he had crafted. He basically challenged them to make a stand on whether illegals should be counted in the census for purposes of determining districts, number of congressional seats, and electoral votes. That's an important, massively important component of this whole illegal immigration invasion we have, the triple I. Maybe it's just a double I. It's an illegal invasion. Well, invasions are by definition illegal, so it's just an invasion. Hagerty tweeted, quote, "Today I forced Chuck Schumer to hold a vote on whether illegal aliens should be counted for determining the number of congressional seats and electoral votes." In other words, that's a big battle when the census comes around. Of course, that determines the number of seats. You know, just a couple of years ago in the 20 census, remember this big battle in Missouri? Missouri lost a congressional seat. It resulted in crazy redistricting. And now we have a big wide swath of Missouri that has this strange congressional district number 3. Our friend Bob Onder is running for it. Of course, Mary Elizabeth Coleman from in the south is the southern area listening area to News Talk. Kurt Schaefer, 2-term Missouri senator from mid-Missouri, is running as well. So it's a busy field, but it really involves a strange district. And so the Democrats were unanimously opposed to Hagerty's common sense measure. What it says is, look, if you're illegal, you shouldn't be counted in a census for purposes of determining congressional districts and electoral votes. This has widespread influence on our electoral process. Senate Democrats chose to, as he said, trample on the rights of each American's voice. So he's going to continue to fight and press the issue. Of course, it didn't make it. This amendment didn't make it. But let's think about it. They're on record. And so whether you're Josh Hawley running for Senate or, you know, some other conservative senator across the fruited plains, you need to take those votes and use it against them. Show the people that, hey, hardworking Americans struggling to put food on the table, clothes on their children's back, and a roof over their head, because of Joe and the Democrats' reckless spending, their votes are now being diluted by illegals who were invited to come across the border by sleepy, angry Joe. We're going to have so many adjectives for Joe before we get done that it'll take forever to introduce him, won't it? Sleepy, angry, caustic, hostile, crusty. What other adjectives can we use for Joe? It's just, it's tragic that you look at the American scene. And what's even scarier about the whole thing when you zoom out, how in the world can 38 to 40% of the people in this country approve of Joe Biden's management of this country? I mean, how can you look at the border? How can you look at what's going on in New York City and Denver and Chicago and San Francisco from a domestic level in San Francisco? The flash mobs everywhere. The rampant willy-nilly trampling on law and order and public safety. The revolving door in our prison system in the name of prison reform. It's crazy. Oh, did you hear about, hey, clip 12? Let's look at clip. I'm going to pull an audible on you. Clip 12, Jerome, if you don't mind, if you'll pull that up. So this guy, Sheldon Johnson, apparently he was dealing drugs and he was a drug and he got into it where he was doing drugs on consignment. Wow. Like your local consignment shop at the antique mall. You know, you put your stuff there. If they sell it, you get 10%. Well, he had some kind of a deal with another drug guy And he was put in prison because when it went south, I guess he took the guy's stuff. And I think there was maybe some bodily injury involved, too. But at any rate, he stole his girlfriend's stuff and he had a long sentence. But then so he was on Joe Rogan. And listen to this guy. He became a prison reform advocate. Look at this guy. Look, it makes you think, wow, maybe I need to take a look at prison reform. Listen.
This begins my journey. I got into school. I got my GED. From there, I got involved in correspondence courses. I started interacting with guys who were teaching ART, aggression replacement training, and I started to begin to understand how these concepts work, what positive visualization is, deep breathing, how to remove yourself, conflict resolution. All of these ideas of change began to take place with me. Substance abuse. I stopped smoking weed. I stopped smoking cigarettes. I was smoking like 30 cigarettes a day. I'm literally having chest pains from smoking cigarettes. And I realized that I wanted to live. And the only way that I was going to be able to live and walk out of prison was to remove myself from these substances.
So, wow, this guy, Joe Rogan, bought it hook, line, and sinker. This guy was hanging out with the New York DA, and the next thing you know, the other day, they've got him what apparently dead to rights. I mean, based on video evidence, and according to a CBS, so he got out of prison early, and according to a CBS New York report, this guy shot a fellow with whom he had some acquaintance, dismembered his body. A search of Johnson's Harlem apartment revealed the remainder, the part of the body was a torso that was beheaded. They found that in the freezer in the deceased's, the victim's house. In Johnson's Harlem apartment, they found the arms. Oh, no, the arms and the head were in his apartment. Now, look, that guy is psychopathic. That's the kind of guy that maybe to a lesser level exists in St. Louis, in Springfield, in Washington, in Fenton, in Florissant. These guys are bad dudes, and we got to rethink the whole prison reform thing. The reason that often they're in jail and they got into criminality is because they're slick, they're charismatic, and they can talk their way out of anything. And now this guy, who Joe Rogan, you know, ballyhooed as a prison reform advocate, is, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer almost. I don't know what the hell he was doing with him. It's crazy. When we come back, we're going to talk about gentle parenting. What might it have to do with criminality? Our own Jerome has a couple ideas and some interesting experiences you'll find interesting. We're going to talk about it because we believe that that's important to think about that. And we will when we come back on the Tobler Show. Stay tuned.